Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. For Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX, 1580 AM, and around the state on a local Civic Media radio station and near you. And on a Wednesday afternoon, shiny, warm, getting warmer. Not quite all the way the warmest we're going to have this week, but on a warm, nice Wednesday afternoon, joined by William Walter for some tangents. Will, how are we doing today?
I am always excellent, particularly on a Wednesday in May.
Yes, happy May. Welcome. It is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. We had May Day 2 days ago. It is also currently we're in the middle of Small Business Week as well. So shop local. Listen to Let's Get Local on Saturdays and Sundays at 11 a.m. with Jason Hafeman, because it is that week as well. A lot of terrific things going on. We got Cinco de Mayo coming up at the end of this week. Mother's Day is right around the corner. All of the fabulous things that May brings. And on a Wednesday, it brings William Walter as well.
Shout out to Voces for their May Day rally in Milwaukee on, what was that, Monday? Was it first of May?
Yes.
We were down there. It was, that day was cold and it was rainy. But I tell you what, people understand the importance of solidarity, and turnout was awesome, and it was so fun to be down there with everybody.
Yeah, solidarity, very important at that event. Also with the writer's strike that is going on, it's something we will continue to keep an update on. The amount of support that has been shown for those writers in the Writers Guild of America, both the East and West, has been tremendous so far. It's going to be interesting to see how these negotiations either pick back up or how long they stay stalled. But solidarity all around. We've seen reports this week of the pilots for several different airlines starting to either authorize or begin the conversations about authorizing a strike. And there's updates about labor up and down the headlines. They're everywhere.
Winds are shifting, Luke. People have had enough.
Yeah. And so there's power in unions, and that was something that we talked a lot about on International Workers' Day back on Monday, and it's something we will continue to talk about here on Dueling Tangents. But Will, we've got some numbers out around the Supreme Court race, the outside spending. We're gonna get to that in a little bit, as well as a lot of green and gold. We're gonna be looking in a green and different shade of green and white, I believe, are the Jets' colors. We'll get into some of those tangents a little bit later in the show. If you want to share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. You can call or text. We'll take those tangents all hour long. But, Will, we're seeing the slow trickle out of some of the details of the Republican proposals to address shared revenue here in Wisconsin. The plan dropped. Most of the plan dropped yesterday, right? Yeah, before
the most is a key note. The big, beautiful plan that we've had prepared for so long, but also we can't release all of it yet because it's not actually done.
There's still the Republican infighting is happening behind closed doors right now about what to all include in this plan, so we don't know all of the details still, but we got some. Right before jumping on the air yesterday, the Republican plan was released for shared revenue, so we got a few more details, not quite all of the final details yet, but we do now know that there's quite a few strings attached to what Republicans are suggesting would solve shared revenue, but also only if you accept it on our terms. Pretty interesting setup. And my question today, Will, would be, really, how far can you go with the strings attached? How far is a local government willing
to go to accept the, if we went into Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, and we said we're gonna solve all your problems, we're gonna fix the broken shared revenue formula, you're gonna get this much money to address those problems, but we give you a laundry list, X, Y, and Z. These things need to be done. No questions asked. Otherwise, you don't get the money. How far can you go with those strings attached? Want to know your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Would local communities accept what Milwaukee is being told it needs to accept in this shared revenue plan? If the local school district in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, decided to say, you know what, we want to take this approach to addressing this in our school districts. And it went through the process. The local school board voted, and the process was underway to make a change in Sheboygan for how the school district approached an issue. And then the legislature came in and said, we need you to reverse that. Do the exact opposite. And if you don't do the exact opposite, you don't get a fix to your shared revenue problem. Do you think that's
very small government local control of them, Luke?
Hey, exactly, Will. It feels very counter to that. So would Sheboygan accept that? If in, I don't know, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, local, or Chippewa Falls, smaller municipality even than Eau Claire. In Chippewa Falls, if the state government came in and said, oh, we'll give you more money to address those roads and everything, but you have to do this the opposite of the way that your local government wanted to address that problem. You can't do it that way anymore. You have to do it this way. How far are local governments willing to go to accept the strings attached to these problems? Because the Republicans are acting like this is a solution, Will, to shared revenue, but it really feels like this is our way or the highway. I really don't see how it can be spun any other way. They take 9 months off. 9 months off. But then they come with this idea. It should be a pretty good idea after all that time not legislating last year in 2022.
They had ample time to come up with something, that's for sure.
But this is what they came up with. Reading from a piece over at the Associated Press, written up by Scott Bauer, Wisconsin GOP government funding plan comes with strings. And it's interesting, though, Will, because the strings aren't for all areas like Sheboygan and Chippewa Falls, as I was pointing out. It really feels like a lot of the strings attached are for one municipality and one municipality only.
And it's punishment. They're punishing the state, the economic engine of the state, the largest city in the entire state. Because it is a Democratic stronghold, they want to make sure that they're. What was the quote from Jared Kushner a few years ago? We're hurting the right people.
Oh, geez, I don't even remember that quote. But to be fair, I don't even think I could tell you what Jared Kushner's voice sounds like. I didn't listen to a whole lot of clips or read a whole lot of his quotes.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, it was one of those. You don't have to listen to that person. that's how I kind of queued up Jared Kushner in my head throughout the former administration in the White House. But it's interesting. What would Rhinelander's response be if the GOP just looked at Rhinelander and said, yeah, only you, Rhinelander, has to take this to an actual referendum to approve this this solution to shared revenue? Every other municipality, they're going to get it, but Rhinelander, we're just feeling like we're pointing you out. It's the randomizer, and the GOP just randomly landed on Rhinelander saying, okay, you guys have to take a vote to accept this through referendum. You don't actually just get this solution to shared revenue like all the other municipalities do around the state.
They're canceling Rhinelander.
These governments wouldn't go for it. These local municipal governments wouldn't go for it. And I think rightfully so, a lot of people would be upset. But for some reason, the Republican response to shared revenue can have all of these stipulations from the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County and just expect it to be taken at a face value. And so this piece over at the AP by Scott Bauer, Wisconsin local governments would see at least a 10% increase in funding under a widely anticipated wide-ranging Republican plan released Tuesday that would also bar local health officials from mandating business closures that last more than 14 days and require voter approval in Milwaukee City and County to raise the sales tax. So it is literally talking about COVID grievance politics and then putting extra stipulations on the voters in a certain municipality to be able to address the problems that they are facing. And it is just baffling to me that this is going to be expected to be, and already a CBS reporter, Emily Fannin, for CBS 58 in Milwaukee, talking to Governor Tony Evers, trying to get some questions out of him as he was leaving an event, asking, oh, well, what are your thoughts? Less than 24 hours after seeing the piece, Evers was like, I haven't had a chance to look through it yet because nobody in the legislature even consulted the governor. The governor went through listening sessions and a budget address and gave all of his ideas through the whole process out in the open, talking about it. This is where I stand on this issue. Gave his piece, and now it is just, there's going to be a lot of reporting over the next several weeks and months that it just needs to be accepted that the GOP's budget is where the starting point is, rather than acknowledging that there's two sides on this.
That's the key point that you just made, Luke, is that they want to control the narrative by making sure that their budget is the starting point for negotiations. That's considered the norm. We will work back from there because this is the standard. I mean, the AP article noted that the bill was circulated for co-sponsors on Tuesday with a, quote, very unusual deadline of just over 3 hours for lawmakers to sign on, a sign that Republicans want to move quickly to pass it. What?
Yeah, it already has a public hearing scheduled for it. The Republican version has a public hearing with less than 48 hours at 10 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday morning. And so less than 48 hours after being introduced, and it's still not introduced in its entirety. There are still portions of it that are missing that have not yet been included in public for public notice. They want to have a public hearing on it tomorrow, Will. And so this is going to get fast-tracked. It's going to be reported on that, oh, this has got to be the starting point. It's got to be concessions will be made from this one, rather than acknowledging that there is a two versions. There is a version of the budget that is Governor Tony Evers' version, and there is a version of a budget that doesn't actually truly exist in its entirety right now, that the Republicans are saying, well, we're going to get around to writing ours and we'll share the little pieces as we get to them, but we're going to fast track them and do public hearings on them as fast as possible. And it's fascinating to see the strings attached and how quickly they're going to jam this through. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to continue the conversation because it seems like Milwaukee County's shared revenue may not be the only thing with strings attached. Robin Voss is putting some strings on other things as well. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Will this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be right back.
I should never let it go.
Jared, welcome and congratulations on the book.
I got the world on a string.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. That will catch you off guard a little bit, Will?
A little bit, but if I shake my head too hard, I'll lose my headset. So, like, I can't be going too hard on a Wednesday.
Well, it's Robin Voss. What I think he believes he envisions himself as is the puppet master, the master of puppets. And so this one goes out to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss because he's putting strings tied to everything these days. And we got a little bit more on this story before we jump to our next tangent. But it is interesting to see the strings tied to the shared revenue formula that Republicans are proposing to be the solution to shared revenue rather than actually having a debate. And the
marketplace of free ideas, Luke. I thought we were all about that now.
The back and forth between sides and compromising rather than being Republicans being like, this is our solution, take it or leave it. Because that is the sentiment that Republican lawmakers in the state capitol are giving, and it's being pretty well addressed. You've pointed out several different lawmakers' quotes, Will. So let's share those with the people now.
Well, I'll start by reiterating State Senator LaTanya Johnson's quote, who said that the bill in relation to Milwaukee, quote, will be like holding a loaded gun to our heads, as the choice is, unquote. The choice is pretty clear that it's either to accept what's proposed or watch Milwaukee go bankrupt. And Robin Voss, the AP article notes, said that he was defending the Milwaukee vote requirement while acknowledging the rejection of a referendum to pay for the pension obligations as, quote, catastrophic for the city. Tell me that's not how organized crime works, right? Like, the Robin Voss is quite literally coming out and saying, yeah, the voters do have the right to choose whether or not they want to accept this, but if they don't, it would be catastrophic for the city.
Be,
wink.
Be a shame if something happened to that county of yours.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it does feel like mob talk. It absolutely feels like mob talk.
And I'm not really sure how anybody could read that quote as anything other than a threat, because that's what it is. He's threatening the city that either you accept our proposal or you will face catastrophic results.
Yeah. So it will be absolutely something to keep an eye on. There are several different rounds of negotiations, I believe, that will take place surrounding this. Hopefully there will be some back and forth between all parties involved in this budget. And hopefully there will be some better common ground that is found rather than just the way that it seems Republicans are proposing to address this problem to start. But Robin Voss, in being responsible, leading the state assembly, he is the assembly speaker. He oversees the funding for a lot of different things, not just the way that the state of Wisconsin will address the shared revenue formula, but also the funding that the state does for the University of Wisconsin system. And this just seems like another, it just gets folded right in, Will, because there's a headline over at the Journal Sentinel today talking about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, with the headline, GOP Speaker Voss urges University of Wisconsin system to eliminate campus diversity offices. And again, takes a very similar mob-like approach to talking about these things, because this is the quote. If they want to increase their funding, they have to show that they can prioritize things to grow the economy, not grow the racial divide, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Voss's suggestion comes just weeks before the Republican-controlled legislature decides how much money to give to universities over the next 2 years. The ask comes amid the backdrop of a national campaign to dismantle offices and programs focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, at public colleges across the country. So Robin Voss saying, well, if you get rid of these offices, maybe we'll see some more money come your way in the University of Wisconsin system. But is this not another shakedown? This is identity politics that Republicans claim to hate. It seems like Robin Voss is playing them pretty hard here.
I mean, Robin Voss has made a career of playing on identity politics. Tell me this isn't a quid pro quo, right? Like, you want increased funding? I guess you'll have to stop growing the racial divide. Which is ironic because DEI programs are quite literally designed to help focus on some of the inherent issues that we have.
Addressing that divide, yes.
A school, but as a community, right? We are addressing this divide through established programs specifically focused on improvement. And Robin Voss is like, no, we don't want that improvement. So either you get rid of that or we're going to cut your funding. And then he has the audacity to come out. And I mean, it's projection. It's straight up projection. Accuse those trying to improve the diversity, equity, and inclusion issues that we face of doing that, which he is doing. And then that's silencing people of differing backgrounds that aren't as privileged as he came from.
Yeah. And it's very telling that the same week where there are stories coming out of the University of Wisconsin-Madison that students were recorded on video using vulgar racist terms and slurs on campus towards other students is the same week that the Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is calling for these offices to be removed from schools and the UW system. And it is just so blatantly not the point. And the excellent reporting over the Journal Sentinel says that this is a drop in the bucket. The funding of these offices for diversity and inclusion on UW system schools, 0.2% of the UW system's budget. Not 2%, not any, 0.2% of the UW system's budget goes towards DEI, addressing diversity, equity, and inclusion. And Robin Voss is saying, well, if you want more funding, it's that 0.2% that we're really hung up on. It is baffling. It is the blatant, as you pointed out, quid pro quo. If you get rid of these offices, maybe we'll get around to funding the University of Wisconsin system better. It is disgusting, and it needs to be called out. And I don't understand how this is an acceptable starting point for budget negotiations in Wisconsin. It's
well,
ridiculous.
The Voss quote, did you see the Voss quote in that article? The university has gone from being an institute of higher education to an institute of indoctrination.
Yeah.
That's Republican culture war 101.
Yes, they're crying indoctrination, and it is just bad. It is the same excuse they use for why they lost the election. But they can't actually prove indoctrination. They just have bad ideas. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. You can join us on a Wednesday, 844-967-2789.
I have never been more excited about anything that I get have gotten the chance to work on.
It sure would be a shame if something happened.
No puppet. No puppet.
Sam is bad at this.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across civic media. Across the state of Wisconsin, you can take us with you on the go. Download the app Civic Media. Wherever apps are downloaded, you can jump from station to station. And just wherever you go, you can have us with you. Joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, we're talking the strings attached by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to several different things today. It's kind of dueling strings. We got strings attached to the shared revenue formula. We've got strings attached to funding for the UW system as well, because DEI offices are such a burden on the UW system. Again, 0.2% of the system's budget.
And so Luke, that just to give you a little context for those like me who might not be as mathematically inclined, that means if you were making $100 a year, that's 20 cents.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it is a drop in the bucket of the UW system's funding for the year. But as you pointed out, Voss using that indoctrination framing of what diversity, equity, and inclusion offices on UW campuses do, it's a terrible viewpoint framing everything of saying that it's indoctrination. And all it is that. All it is a viewpoint and framing, because Robin Voss isn't actually using hard evidence for why these offices are bad, why they shouldn't be a part of campus life for the UW system. He uses anecdotal evidence, because Voss called for eliminating funding for all of the DEI positions, saying the offices are a waste of public tax dollars and teach students to view the world entirely through the lens of race. He cited examples he has heard where people had to fill out DEI statements to apply for a UW job, and students had to discuss white privilege at freshman orientation. We really need a safe place for these folks, don't we? There needs to be a safe place where they can't talk about needing to talk about white privilege. That's what Robin Voss is saying, right, Will?
What does it sound like, Luke, to sit around and be like, believe me, folks, I've heard people say this, I've heard people have been telling me that, with evidence to back up their claims in any way, shape, or form.
It's par for the course. It's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's stance on election fraud in 2020.
Didn't he just waste a couple million dollars on that?
Lit $2.5 million and still rising. I believe the court cases are still ongoing for some of the open records requests, because Robin Voss just gave a blank check to former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman and let him run around the state of Wisconsin claiming that people are saying there's voter fraud without actually being able to produce over a 14-month office any semblance of widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election. Nothing. Nothing was ever produced. And then Michael Gableman went behind Robin Voss's back, and that's when Michael Gableman's cash cow, the Wisconsin taxpayers, us, we had to pay for it. That's when it ended, because Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, his opponent in the primary last year, back in August, was endorsed by Michael Gableman. That's when the cash cow stopped. That's when Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was like, okay, enough. We're not going to just spend willy-nilly on this office for a special counsel to look into widespread voter fraud. He ended it not because of the anecdotal evidence that Michael Gableman was using to fuel that office. He ended it because Michael Gableman crossed him. And now Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is saying, using the same anecdotal evidence for why these DEI offices need to be removed from the UW system. It is insane, and it is identity politics, and it is what Robin Voss is doing, is playing identity politics, and it needs to be called out. And we want to hear your thoughts.
Talk about a waste of public tax dollars.
Yeah, it is absolutely. You can share your thoughts with us here on Dueling Tangents. 844-967-2789. Up first this Wednesday afternoon, we got Jack from Merrimack calling in. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Oh, there's so much wrong with this. It's unbelievable. First of all, Voss is saying that these diversity offices are promoting racism. Excuse me. That really sounds like the old quote from Hitler's minister of propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, who in translation said, accuse the other side of that of which you are guilty. You know, the second thing, though, is that these guys must be hoping that they'll still get gerrymandered in, because they entirely ignored the budget that Tony Evers gave them, didn't bother to talk to him, didn't bother to negotiate at all. And what they don't seem to understand is that the entire Republican part of the legislature, with all of their votes together, had fewer votes than Tony Evers got in the last election. These guys need to realize that, and they need to realize that if the gerrymander is thrown out, which unless they impeach Janet Protasiewicz, which they have threatened to do, at least one of their members has talked about that, unless they impeach her, that gerrymander is going to be thrown out, and we're going to get some reasonable districts. So that's my rant for the day, I guess.
Yeah, and we appreciate that, Jack. And it will be interesting to see if, come August, the current maps are challenged and the state of Wisconsin gets new maps of how these individuals will begin to act. I thought after the spring election back in April, after Janet Protasiewicz won, I thought that there would be some more moderation, some more compromise coming out of the Republican-led legislature, because they would see that for the 14th or 15th statewide election, the Republican or conservative-backed candidates would have lost out of the last 18 races since 2017. And so I thought that that would bring moderation, but you're right. The first comments, even before that election, those election results were in, then state representative, now a member of the state Senate, was calling for impeachment. Rather, that's not moderating. That's going even further to the extremes. And so we appreciate that.
The route they're taking instead, Luke, is to try to figure out how they can get less college kids to vote.
Yeah, they're saying, well, UW system campuses, if you want more funding, if you want the state of Wisconsin to invest, you need to take these stipulations. You need to have these strings attached. And it is just baffling that, again, Republicans are not coming up with better ideas. They are just trying to use the power that they have to air out their grievances. They're not actually looking to address problems that are facing the state of Wisconsin. They are looking here in Wisconsin, and elected Republican officials are just trying to do whatever they can to really rile up their base of supporters and hope that they can try to cling on to power as long as they possibly can.
Well, I think I got to tap the sign again. I think the David Frum quote rings true once more. If conservatives become convinced that they cannot win democratically, they will not abandon conservatism. They will reject democracy. And we are seeing this with our elected officials, particularly Republican elected officials right now.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Jack. You can be like Jack, 844-967-2789. Share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. Let's head back over to the phone lines. We got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys, yeah, this is just another, Robin Ross's latest comment is just another assault on the Wisconsin idea, because he's talking about economic growth when it comes terms to education. And yes, that should be a part of it, but the main part of our educational system is to produce better citizens, to produce an informed citizenry. And what Voss can't understand about that, because Scott Walker was handed his head over this issue back a few years back now. I mean, it just is. Robin Voss needs to be called out on this. Is that do you want little cogs, little slaves to the system, or do you want actual citizens, thinking citizens that can analyze this thing and actually understand that we all have value in this society, which is what this diversity education on campuses probably is attempting to do. That she actually run into people other than lily white jackasses like Robin Voss. I mean, it just is. It amazes me. I mean, you know, what next from Robin Voss? Covenant marriage where the guy has he's on his fourth or fifth marriage now. Of course, one of those doesn't count because it was just annulled when he got a divorce that way. But, I mean, it just is. Voss needs to be called out on this because he's just another little neo-fascist Republican, and attacking diversity is just another way of saying there's some of these people that are lesser than us, and there's no way that we should actually accept them into our educational institutions.
Yeah, he wants to remove the offices that address that promote and address diversity, equity, and inclusion, and those are bad words for Republican lawmakers. They don't like when you talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're not big fans. DEI is a punching bag that will, I have a feeling, very much the social issues that Republicans have been criping about really here throughout the 2023, DEI is going to be another big one of these.
There's a bit of irony to that too, especially based on what we just heard from Mark. So UW System President Jay Rothman was asked about what he thought of Voss's statements on DEI. He signaled an unwillingness to eliminate DE offices altogether, as today's students come from a variety of backgrounds and they expect to be exposed to different cultures, ideas, and opinions. This will be necessary to prepare them to enter an increasingly diverse workforce. He said, quote, to be relevant today, we must meet these expectations, unquote. So he is noting that the goal of the UW system is to create productive citizens. And to create productive citizens, you have to be able to expose them to the type of, different cultures, ideas, and opinions that they will face in the real world. He also noted that many DEI employees are funded with federal grants that could be jeopardized if positions are eliminated. So again, we're going to be cutting retention and graduation rates when we're cutting the employment of the UW system. And he specifically noted that he in particular, referring to Rothman, is focused on the I in DEI, as he's calling for campuses to be more inclusive, not just to students of color, but to those with different political viewpoints as well.
Yeah.
Tell me you haven't heard conservative politicians complaining on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any social media account where they're, you know, risking being canceled, that colleges are safe spaces for liberal ideas and any conservative college student is being canceled. Okay, well, here is an inclusivity program designed to take people of what might be a minority viewpoint and give them opportunities to participate. And Republicans are cutting funding to it. It's irony at its finest.
Yeah, it's the Sideshow Bob stepping on all the rakes over and over and over again. That's what it seems like. And again, you'd think that after 9 months of not legislating last year in 2022, that there would be better ideas. But this is apparently the punching bag that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is sparring with. He wants to be able to play the identity politics game and insist that this is the boogeyman. And if you do not get rid of them out of the UW system, the UW system's not going to get the funding. It's a mob talk. It is a shakedown. It is strings attached to funding. It is ridiculous. And it needs to be talked about. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter on a Wednesday afternoon. If you want to share your tangents with us, 844-967-2789. And Will, a story that we alluded to with the outside spending earlier in this segment, but I want to share a brief story over at the Wisconsin Examiner. Record-breaking outside spending dominated state Supreme Court race. It is very interesting, Will, that the same people that were saying, oh, well, we changed the rules and now the liberals are outside spending more and there's Janet Protasiewicz is getting all this outside money and it's bad. And now the final numbers are in, Will, and conservatives spent more than roughly one and a half times more in outside spending than the liberal groups here in Wisconsin back in April, and still lost by 10 points. Just again, I think we can categorize that one in the Sideshow Bob stepping on the race.
You gotta note the numbers, Luke. 28.8 million was the final spending, roughly two-thirds of which coming from of the final spending, roughly two-thirds, which was 28.8 million. That's nearly six times the previous record of 5.03 million set in 2020. Six times!
Yeah.
Holy moly, Luke.
The record that was set in April of this year, I have a feeling, Will, it's just going to become another broken record the next time we go around electing a Supreme Court justice. Yeah. It's just going to be the until it is reined in with campaign finance reform, outside spending and candidate spending is going to shatter records here in Wisconsin and around the nation. We need to address it, and something needs a fix as well. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment on this Wednesday afternoon. Share those tangents with us, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Yeah, yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday. Sparkling thoughts, give me the hope to go on.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, he's William Walter. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to follow the show after the show or online during the show, share a tangent with us anytime. Follow us on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. And Will, we're talking DEI and talking strings attached to through DEI offices, because those are the boogeyman, and the strings attached to the shared revenue formula for the city and county of Milwaukee, and just all around atrociousness that Robin Voss is providing with these strings and stipulations.
We focused a lot on Robin Voss today, Luke, but you kind of reminded me of something that I saw the other day. Actually, quite a few people have noted it to me because they were very frustrated by this, how DEI has been kind of made into the boogeyman by a lot of conservative elected officials right now. So I found out that there's a spring symposium being held by the Wisconsin Association of Scholars, who I looked into and can't get very much information off of their own website. The event will feature a panel discussion on the uses and abuses of government-sponsored DEI programming in universities, generally and specifically in medical, scientific, and technical education. Participants including Senator Ron Johnson. I don't understand like how this can be so successful and how they were able to manage to book a location like the Medical College of Wisconsin when they advertise this event as, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion in medicine and sciences. And then in the fine print, it says below that uses and abuses, clearly trying to advertise very similar to the event that they held in the Dells earlier this year that we talked about. They're trying to point out that they're trying to do this kind of, you know, positive training while hiding the negative connotations of the words, as they will explain when you get there, because the entire presentation is going to be predicated on the quote uses and abuses. It's kind of shady, shiesty, I'd say.
Yeah, it's definitely shady, and it is something that we're going to absolutely keep an eye on and continue to talk about. But the fact that the boogeyman is all of the, again, it one day it's the green M&Ms, then the next day it's Mr. Potato Head, and then it's diversity, equity, and inclusion. And some of these things that the conservative movement uses as a punching bag have real effects. Like belittling and making the trans community feel less than an actual part of American the American fabric of life. They are just as much Americans as we are. Anybody in the trans community that is struggling and used as a punching bag, that has real effects. It's funny when conservatives beat up on green M&Ms, because that's just, to me, comical. It is silly that Tucker Carlson was so triggered by M&Ms being a woman or whatever. I still don't even know what the base of that is, but there are real,
he was mad that they got rid of her the high boots, because he found the high boots to be, you know, a sexy feminine quality and they were getting rid of that.
Wow, I did not know that was that even stupid. Now it's even, and no longer on the air. But
if
there
you
are
want a
real
good laugh, please look into that story a little bit, folks.
There are real effects to then using the trans community and the oh, I'm gonna boycott Bud Light because they gave one can of Bud Light to a member of the trans community with their face on it, and then just used as a punching bag, that has real effects. And so we need to talk about these things. This political theater that the right uses to orchestrate and advocate for this hate, and
I'd say divide and distract, Luke. They try to keep people of similar economic situations fighting over things like this so that they can keep picking your pocket.
And they get people very riled up over these little things, making it seem like it's a big deal. And so I want to make it obviously clear that the use of DEI offices, diversity, equity, and inclusion offices on college campuses and the trans community, those are very real threats that when conservatives put them in their crosshairs to remove from the UW system or make trans individuals feel less than who they are, that needs to be talked about. But the nonsense around M&Ms and the outrage there, that can just be shown and discussed as outrage. And so we need to talk about how these strings are being attached, that the highest ranking Republican in Wisconsin is saying you can't have more funding for the UW system unless you eliminate these DEI offices on college campuses is outrageous. And
it's gross.
It is gross. And so it is absolutely something that I really hope that lawmakers and individuals in the deciding bodies for the UW Board of Regents and the individuals that oversee these college campuses do not fold to these demands by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I hope that they continue, as Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, has indicated, that they are going to continue these DEI offices on campus because they do provide a service for the university. It is absolutely a current portion of what a good college education is. In my opinion, in expert opinions, Robin Voss should not be able to put these stipulations out there and say, you're only going to get this funding unless you get rid of these offices.
It's very small government of him, Luke.
Yes. Very, very, very small government. And a little palate cleanser here as we go out of the end of the show, Will. We got an interesting headline out of, again, this one over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But it is very strange just to hear somebody complain that he didn't have enough offensive weapons. And that, oh, well, the front office in Green Bay is not doing enough to get me what I need to win a Super Bowl. And now another one of quarterback Aaron Rodgers' former targets becoming a current target, Randall Cobb, former wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, signing a one-year deal with the New York Jets to, again, go play football with Aaron Rodgers. So your thoughts on all the green and gold going to whatever jet green and white the Jets
wear? Well, we joked about it. You know, Mercedes Lewis will probably get signed in a few days, too, which is too bad because I love me some big dog.
Yeah.
I'm a little frustrated because I think you stole my most Wisconsin headline of the week with Jets signing Randall Cobb to 1 year deal to reunite with Aaron Rodgers was about as expected as me being here on a Wednesday. You know, it's you don't have to mark this in chalk. This is going to happen. All but guaranteed. Rodgers he has his team. He has his friends. He has the people he wants to spend time with that he's comfortable with. He's made it abundantly clear throughout his career. You know, I can think of so many times when rookies were drafted when, you know, the draft analysts would point out, oh, you got to earn Aaron Rodgers' trust. He's notorious for not wanting to throw to you until you earn his trust. So evidently he both needs more, a fresh influx of new talent, but also only wants to keep the people that he's already.
He had Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson. He had two young explosive players last year. You broke your thumb and you were bad at throwing the football for the year. Let's chalk it up to that. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Really appreciate William Walter joining me on a Wednesday afternoon and all of our excellent callers. Stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Dueling Tangents. We'll talk to you then. Appreciate you joining us, Will.
Party people.
Oh, yeah.